Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's a little chilly out there, isn't it? But that's all right. I looked at the weather app last night. This week's supposed to be chillier than it has been, but next week, it could really get cold. So if you're looking for snow, if you're excited as my wife is about snow, you may be wanting to look for next week. I'm kidding. She'd rather move down to somewhere where there's no cold air at all. She'd be fine with that. But this morning, we're going to be thinking about making decisions and establishing from the Scripture wise and successful ways and principles by which we must make the decisions that we make if we're going to be pleasing to God. So, as we think about these things, hopefully they'll be encouraging to you and help you in your daily walk with Jesus. And if you have any questions, anything that you would like to ask about, please let me know after the lesson, and I'll be glad to sit down. And if you have a question about the Scriptures, let us sit down with you and study with an open heart and an open Bible. Appreciate everyone's presence this morning. We do have visitors, and we thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we live in a day and time in which things are very different than they were just a few short years ago, right? I mean, I remember back in the 80s. In construction work, I had a cell phone, but it was about this tall. It had a big antenna on it, and I had to put it in a pouch, carry it around. And it was one of those Motorola things, walkie-talkies, just giant walkie-talkies, all it was. Things have really changed technologically. And you know, with that, also, people are just so busy in their lives. And we have overextended ourselves in so many different directions. There are so many choices that we are asked to make every day. Our lives have become so complicated. One of the lessons I learned when I went to Belize several years ago, and also again to Africa last year, you go to a place like that and you kind of learn how to slow down. You recognize really what is important and truly valuable. And just being away from your cell phone for a little while is a good thing. You don't have so much distraction, so many choices. Our lives are made of choices. What we choose makes us. And we need to understand our choices are very important. Now, I'm not saying every choice is very important, because what color of suit I chose to wear this morning is not of real value or importance. It doesn't really matter as long as I'm dressed modestly. As far as, you know, what color, I know some people that's really important. It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. What are we going to have for lunch? That's an interesting decision to make. And me and Denise be talking about where we're going to go eat or what we're going to have for supper. And I'll say, I don't care, whatever you want. And she'll say, I don't care, whatever you want. And we're kind of like those little chipmunks on the cartoons years ago. You know, we just get to arguing about what we're going to eat because we don't know. You got to make a choice, though. Somebody does, right? But it really doesn't matter in the overall scheme of things. That being the case, we also must recognize there are many choices that we make that have far-reaching and even eternal consequences. We make decisions that get ourselves into predicaments that are very difficult to get out of. And so we need to be concerned about those things. When it comes to religion, which God? You know, today most people don't think there is such a thing as a God, or it really doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't make a bit of difference, no such thing as objective truth, doesn't matter. Well, they've made a choice. They've made a choice not to believe. But many people do believe in a God. Which God? Does it matter? Yeah, it matters. A lot of people think it doesn't matter, but it does. If God is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. Now, who's the true God? The true God of the Bible. And which church? All right, what faith am I going to follow? What teaching is true? the Word of God again answers those questions for us, but we have to make a choice what we're going to accept. Are we going to follow our feelings and what we want, or are we going to follow what God says? Are we going to trust Him, believe what He says? What about our values, our priorities in life, our goals? You know what? We choose what is valuable to us. We choose whether spiritual things are going to be our top priority and most valuable, or material things, or nothing. We make that choice. Where we place our focus is our decision. Our spouse, our career, where we live, all those things are choices that we make that are important, and they do affect our lives. They affect not only our material lives, but they most importantly affect our spiritual lives. Lot made a choice. How we spend our time, our money, our efforts, all these are important decisions. How do we make them? What are the principles that we need to use to govern our decision making? In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven and bring us and for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is near you, very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess." It's interesting, the Apostle Paul even references this text in Romans chapter 10. In relationship to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here Moses is talking about the law of Moses. But Paul makes application to the very principle in Romans chapter 10 in relationship to Jesus Christ. Who went into heaven and brought Jesus down for us? Who went into hell and brought Him up from the dead? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. And he speaks of the need to confess Jesus Christ and to believe in your heart and to call upon the name of the Lord, to believe in Him and to obey the gospel. All that right there in Romans chapter 10 verses 3 through 17. And we need to be submissive and we need to make that choice to follow and serve the Lord. Verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Now, in this text, we need to understand some things. Very important. Both Moses and Paul makes the same point. We can know the Lord's will. We can know what God wants us to do in our life. It's not something that we have to go do some super ordinary thing, unnatural thing to achieve. We can know God's will. We can know it if we fear God and trust Him. In John 7:17, Jesus makes an important point there. He says, "He who wills to do His will know the doctrine." And I've long said, it's not so much dependent upon our intellect, our ability to reason, although that's, of course, important to some degree, but it's not about intellect. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how willing you are. How willing you are to submit to God and to do what He says. Those who have that attitude can understand what God says. It's when we don't have that attitude, when we are proud and we're selfish and we want to do what we want to do, we have trouble with what God says. When we want our way, and we want to make the doors to heaven much broader than what God has revealed in His Word, Oh, we're going to have trouble with some of the things that the Lord revealed to us. We can be diligent, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, to show ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. We can do that. We can do what God expects us to do. Just like the children of Israel, they could do what God commanded them to do in the law. They could do it. That's the point that Moses is making. It's not too hard for you that you can't do it. Serving Jesus is not so hard that we can't do it. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. No question about that. But it's not because we can't do what God wants us to do. It's because we choose. We make a choice. And maybe that choice isn't just set in that instant when that choice is made. Maybe it's a choice that's been building for a long time because of the things that we have chosen before, the path that we've set ourselves on. But we can do what God would have us to do. By the way, Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that passage is emphasizing the very point. We can do what Christ has called us to do. We can be the people that Christ has called us to be. Another important thing, just like Moses informs the people of Israel, if your heart turns away from the Lord to follow other gods, you know, Satan is always trying to lure us away from God. He's always trying to deceive us, to discourage us, to hinder us. He's trying to destroy us. Satan is out to get you, my friend. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, he's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, our choices help him out sometimes, don't they? We make choices that fall right into his plan. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. But we can turn away from the Lord. We can choose not to follow the Lord. And if we're not following the Lord, who are we following? It's one or the other. Just like was read in 1 Kings 18. You know, if God is God, follow Him. What about Baal or any other god? It doesn't matter. We're following Satan then. Now, we are free to choose. God has given us the freedom to choose, free will. We can choose. But here's an interesting point. In fact, we do not have the ability not to choose. We must choose. Even when we, an agnostic who says, I don't know if there's a God or not. You know what? He's made a choice. He's made a choice not to believe. When we choose not to believe, we make a choice. You have the freedom to choose, but you do not have the freedom not to choose. Just like Felix, go away, you know, he made a choice. That convenient time that he was waiting on, he made a choice, not now, not today. I'm going to wait. That day may never come. And you have to live with that choice that you made to not choose. The consequences of our choices are unavoidable. The children of Israel also made their choice. And you know, when God says, look, if you turn away from me, I will curse you. God means what He says. Just as certainly as Him saying, if you trust me and do what I say, I'll bless you. Oh, we want to believe Him when He says that. Yes, that's true. God's going to bless me. It's just as true that He will curse those who do not follow Him. Those consequences are certain. In Galatians 6 and verses 7 through 9, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But we make that choice. And the consequences are absolute. They are what they are. As in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter ye in by the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You see, these roads lead to where they go. It's not that God just waiting around to cast a bunch of folks into hell. We make the choice where we go. The straight and narrow gate to heaven, to life, or the broad way to hell. We choose. Think about, and we're not going to go through and make a lot of points from this list of names, but just think about some of the decisions that have been made in the Bible. And there are many others that we can mention. Eve, she made a choice not to trust God. Did she believe that God existed? Absolutely. She knew God existed. But she made a choice not to trust Him. She was deceived by Satan. And she was appealed to through the lust of her flesh to do something that God had commanded her not to do. She made a choice. Look at the consequences of that choice. And Adam, he chose to take that forbidden fruit from his wife and eat. He should have ruled over her. He should have said no. He knew that it was wrong. But he was tempted. And he was weak. And he made a choice out of weakness. Cain knew what was right. Maybe he thought that, you know what? It doesn't matter whether it's vegetables or meat. I mean, this is the best I have, so it ought to be good enough for God. And when God didn't accept what Cain offered, Cain got mad, angry, killed his brother. Cain made a choice. God says, you know what? You should rule over this. Sin is lying at the door. You can do good or bad. That's your choice. Sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. And you should rule over it, God said. Cain made his choice. Lot made a choice in Genesis chapter 13. He made a choice to move his family close to Sodom. Choices matter. You go to Genesis chapter 19, what did it cost him? His family. Choices matter. He was looking out for the materialistic best interest of his family. And it cost him his family. Abraham made a bad choice in Genesis 16, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Trying to help God work out his plan, not having enough faith in God to fulfill his plan the way he said he was. And so here comes Hagar into the picture, and then Ishmael is born, and just look at the problems that decision has had on the world. Millenniums of people fighting and at war with each other. Moses made a decision out of anger to strike a rock because he was mad. Never make a decision when you're emotional. Don't do that. Moses struck a rock and it kept him from entering into the land of promise. He failed to glorify God by doing what he said. David, not being where he was supposed to be out in battle, he was back home taking it easy and he was looking out and he saw Bathsheba bathing, called her up to himself, committed adultery, and then trying to cover it up, committed murder. David made a choice, and then that kind of snowballed into some other choices. Look at the consequences for David and his family. Peter, although he was convinced, he was certain, he would never deny Jesus. He would never turn his back on the Lord. These other disciples, Lord, they may turn away from you, but not me. I'm not going to. Never. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he did. And after the third denial, he realized what he had done and he wept bitterly. But he made a choice. Felix. He made the choice, not now. Agrippa said, almost. You know, we need to choose. And again, we do not have the freedom not to choose. There are examples of good decisions in the Bible. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. He did what God told him to do. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Abraham, although yes, he's an example of making a bad choice, he also made many good choices. He obeyed God in leaving his home. He obeyed God in circumcising his family because he believed God's promise that Sarah, his wife, who was beyond the years of having children, was going to have a son. As Paul said, though her womb was dead, Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God, but was strengthened in faith. He did what God said. Genesis 22, he took that very son of promise up to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Abraham was a man of faith, and thus he did what God commanded him to do. Joseph, an example, a great example for young people. Look, you don't have to be mature in age to have the ability to resist temptation. You simply have to be strong in faith. Joseph said no to the sexual advancements of his master's wife. He fled from her. He said no. We can too. Moses, although he made a bad choice in striking the rock out of anger, he also made good choices along the way. He chose to follow God and to serve Him. He chose to leave his riches and his potential authority in Egypt. I'll leave it all behind. The riches of Egypt was thrown away by Moses so he could suffer the affliction with the children of God, the children of Israel. He made a choice, as Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27 tells us. He chose to suffer instead of enjoy material blessings of Egypt. Joshua, the man who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he did. David, another one who made bad decisions. See, you kind of get this. Yes, even good people, people of faith, make bad decisions. But they also then make good decisions. For example, David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 made the decision to fight Goliath. We're all familiar with that story. But the most important one was in 2 Samuel chapter 12. When Nathan came to David and pointed out to him that he was the man who was guilty of adultery and murder, and David's heart broke, David pleaded for forgiveness. Read Psalm 51. David was a man who was penitent and contrite. He made a choice. Now, he still had earthly consequences, but he restored his relationship with God. Josiah, a young king, became king at the age of 8 years old and reigned and served the Lord faithfully, restored the Old Testament system of worship in Jerusalem, rebuilt and restored the temple. Great example of faith. But he made a decision from a young age, even though his daddy was one of the worst kings Judah ever had. And so was his grandpa. But yet, he made a choice. Peter, even though he chose to deny the Lord Jesus through pressure, he also chose to repent and serve the Lord. In fact, we read of him in Acts the 4th chapter as he's before the council. Now, he's still under pressure, but things are different. In chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Acts, both Peter and John and the other apostles are all brought in chapter 5 before the council. And they're both commanded and warned not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John in Acts the 4th chapter, we ought to obey God rather than men. And they went on preaching. After they let them go, they went straight back to work for the Lord. Paul made a choice, and he talks about that choice in Philippians chapter 3. He was rising through the ranks of the Jewish religion. He was on his way to being a member of the Sanhedrin court. Very popular fella. Riches and wealth perhaps was even in store for him. But he counted it all as rubbish so that he could win Christ and so that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's the Apostle Paul. He made that choice. Yes, look at all the bad things he did. He persecuted Christians. He had them locked up. He voted to have them put to death until he was converted. Then he changed. He made a choice. He gave everything up to serve Christ. 12 men in Ephesus, they made a choice. They had been taught wrong. They were baptized wrong. But when Paul taught them the truth, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They changed their religion. They corrected a wrong. We need to take that as a good example for us. How to make decisions that glorify God. One thing that we need to remember, it's very important, that when it's a matter of truth, a matter of doctrine, a matter of faith, then there's not a lot of different ways I can do it or believe it or teach it. Truth is narrow. And I can't choose something different from the truth and still be in harmony with the truth. That goes back to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two ways for us to go. We have the straight and narrow way, and that is the way of truth and the way of Jesus. Or the broad way, which is any other way, which includes any and every other gospel, which includes any and every other doctrine than that which is taught in the Scripture. Any other body, any other group than the Lord Jesus, His church, any other group is wrong. You see, listen, there are so many choices, right? And denominationalism, Satan is behind this, by the way. Denominationalism has confused the world, the religious world. And people give up. They say, how can we ever find out what is right? Which is the right church? Who is the right group of people? We don't know. They give up because they're so confused because of all the different choices. I wish that we could just get people to see it's not that complicated. The truth is there, and it is what it is, and it can be found and it can be understood. If we just appeal to the standard that God has given us, the Bible, if that is the only standard that we're going to turn to determine and decide what is true and what is right, and we follow the Bible because we believe in God and we believe His Word, then it's not going to be that complicated. Things will clear up for you. Yes, all the different religions is very complicating, confusing. But the truth is narrow. We need the truth. And if a person knows the truth, then he can recognize all the other stuff as being false. We need the truth. How do we make decisions that honor God? First and foremost, we need to make the commitment to seek the truth, find the truth, believe the truth, and follow the truth. And not let anything else get in our way. We need to be seekers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seekers. In 2 John in verse 9, the first part of that verse says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. My friends, that's a very, very, very important statement. And we need to understand it matters what we believe and what we practice. Whatever we do that is different from what Jesus has taught is wrong. So whatever decision, whatever choice we make that is contrary to the will of Jesus Christ is wrong. And it will separate us from God. The latter part of verse 9, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. The key is abiding in Christ by abiding in His teaching, following Him. Again, yes, there are a lot of different false ways that are out there. There's only one right way to follow Jesus, and that's to submit to His will by trusting Him. That's the first thing. We need to seek His will. Wherever that leads me, I'm willing to go there. Whatever the truth is, that's what I want. So there's the initial choice. I want the truth. I need the truth. I need to know what Jesus would have me to do. And be committed to doing that. Now, there are many principles that people follow today that lead them in the wrong way. It takes them in the wrong direction. And these are based on pride and selfishness. For example, a proud person is not going to be receptive to the will of God. In fact, God rejects him. And whatever he chooses will be a vain choice, a worthless choice. If I'm doing something for my selfish personal gain and not considering God's will and others, then God is going to cast me aside. Whatever decision I make is going to be wrong. If I'm prioritizing temporal possessions and pleasures or earthly success, then my decisions are going to be wrong. They're going to be governed by the wrong thing. Like that rich young ruler of Luke 18. Jesus knew where his weakness was. And he told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. But he loved his possessions. And he wasn't willing to give them up. He made a choice because of his love for material things. Human wisdom and tradition. I have been told personally, face to face, by a person. And he repeated this several times. He said, I can't believe that because I can't understand it. I can't understand how that works. So I can't believe it. You know, Abraham didn't understand how it was going to work for Isaac to be born either, but he trusted God enough to continue to do what he said. I don't have to understand the whys or the hows of what God has said. I simply need to trust Him. You see, what you're really manifesting is you trust more in your own intellect and your own reasoning abilities than you do in what God says. A lot of people, though, have that mindset. I can't understand. I can't see why baptism would be necessary for salvation. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know what? You ain't God. It's not your choice. Do you believe God or not? Do we trust Him or not? I've always done it this way. And I'm not going to change. There's a little stubbornness in here when it comes to traditions of men. We want to feel smart sometimes. And instead of simply trusting what God says, we're going to hold to what we want, what we've always done, what we're most comfortable with. Sometimes making changes to follow the Lord means we have to step out of our comfort zone, do something different than what we've been doing, what everybody else does. And the doctrines and the commandments of men, Jesus said, those who worship by them are worshiping in vain. Matthew chapter 15, 7 through 9. And Paul warns about the philosophies and the wisdom of men in Colossians 2 and verse 8. In fact, James talks about where this wisdom of men goes. It leads to strife, division, anger, and every evil way. Ooh. Then you've got bad theology. You know, if our understanding of God is wrong, then that's going to affect how we live our lives. We'll live it wrong. We will never live above that which we believe, which we understand. If we believe that God is just this doting grandfather up in heaven that just loves us so much and doesn't really care what we do, He doesn't care. He's going to save us all anyway. He loves me so much that I can live for myself. I can live my life like I want. I can worship and serve Him however I choose. And that's all right with God. Then I've got a wrong idea of God. A misconception of God. And that's going to lead me to make decisions that are wrong and sinful and destructive. I need to have the fear of the Lord in my heart as well as an understanding of His love. I need to know what He's going to do to me if I choose not to obey Him. I need to understand that. False doctrine, false doctrine doesn't reside within its own little world. False doctrine affects other aspects of the truth. There is no such thing as a false doctrine that is all by itself, because when we change one aspect of the Word of God, guess what? We're going to wind up having to change a lot of other stuff to support our belief in this particular false doctrine. That AD 70 doctrine, that stuff, man, well, what's the big deal about believing that Jesus came in AD 70? Well, it ruins a lot of other things. What about the resurrection of the dead? What about that? What about the sacrifice of Christ and the atonement? There are so many things that that doctrine touches and has to change in order for that doctrine to be supported. It's crazy. But when we have a false view of God and we believe error, then that is going to cause us to make wrong decisions or our emotions. And one of the biggest problems we have today is that people choose things based on how they feel. We hear it all the time. All the time. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. No, that's not what the Proverb writer said in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. We need to govern our heart. We need to guard our heart and protect our heart. And we need to teach our heart God's will. And we need to follow God's will from the heart. And it's not about how I feel about it. It's about what's true. Never make a permanent decision because of a temporary problem. Never. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't care how strongly I feel a thing is right. If it's wrong according to God, it's wrong. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. We don't have the power, the ability to determine what's right or wrong apart from what God has revealed to us. So, if we don't fear God, trust God, love God, we're going to make wrong decisions. And on the flip side of that coin, what about humility and love? If I'm humble and I'm willing to submit to God's will and follow Him wherever He leads me, whatever He says, I'm going to do. I love God because I cherish and value His gift to me. My love is a product of the sacrifice He made for me with His own Son. I love Him because He's God. If that is my attitude, then certainly I'm going to seek to please Him, to do what's right. I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I need to love my neighbor as myself. Prioritizing spiritual things, I truly need to put spiritual things first. I need to make certain, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I need to seek the kingdom of God first. Divine wisdom, tradition, what does God say? What does God teach me about this? And how do these principles apply to my life that God has revealed? And what are the traditions that God has instructed me to follow? I need to ask that question before I make a decision. Is this what God has revealed? Correct theology. Is this true? Is this in harmony with God and who He is? Is it in harmony with what God has revealed in the Scripture? And I need to appeal to the objective standard of God's Word. I need to go to a thus saith the Lord. You know, that's something that used to be said a lot from pulpits. Thus saith the Lord. Give me book, chapter, and verse. Some people mock at that. You know, you go to Jeremiah. Read through the book of Jeremiah sometime. Thus saith the Lord. How many times did he say that? Thus saith the Lord. We need a thus saith the Lord. We need to follow Peter's instruction in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. We need to speak as the oracles of God. We need to appeal to the Scripture. It has everything in it that God wants us to do. So many say, well, God didn't say I couldn't do that. He didn't say not to do that. Did He tell you to do it? Did He tell you to do this? That's the question. Because He's told us everything that He wants from us. When it comes to our worship and our service to Him, He's told us what He wants. Therefore, I'm not at liberty to do it my way. We need to appeal to God's Word, the objective standard. And by the way, there is a necessity of maturity in the Word of God, because those who are mature are able to discern between right and wrong. Where those who are on the milk of the Word, they haven't reached and progressed to that point yet where they are able to discern and properly apply the teaching of Scripture to life's problems in every aspect. We can know what's right and what's wrong and what God demands from me today. Now, I need to continue to grow so I can learn and understand and apply the Scriptures correctly to my life. Decisions that honor God then are governed by humility and love, prioritizing spiritual things, divine wisdom, traditions that God has revealed, correct theology, and appealing to the objective standard of the Word of God. Proverbs 19 and verse 2 says, "Also it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he sins who hastens with his feet." Let me give you some other advice here. Let's slow down a little. Let's slow down. People who are in a hurry to do what they want to do, we'll find out eventually they've done the wrong thing. You try to encourage people to just wait. No, don't do that, because you see as a mature Christian where that's going to lead them. I know parents, you have these conversations with your children all the time. I know that I did with mine. Looking down the road, and I could see what was going to happen down the road. And it's not a pleasant thing, my friends. Not a good thing to have your child come back to you and say, "I know you told me so." It's not good. But he who hastens with his feet, we make choices and we take actions in the heat of the moment. We need to pause. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your light is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When we have a decision to make, we need to appeal to what God's Word says. What does it say about something similar to this? Let's get a feeling for some principles that are established in the Scripture. The Word of God is given as a lamp to our feet so that we can see what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. And if our knowledge of God's Word is sufficient, we can recognize those things. We need to read and study so that we can discern between right and wrong. Proverbs 15 and verse 22, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors there they are established." Now, we do need to be careful who we're asking, who we're seeking counsel from. There are some people who have no business giving people counsel, who have no business helping lead people spiritually. What we need is to seek counsel from mature Christians, from those who are sound in the faith, and we need to listen to their advice. We need to heed their wise counsel. We need help sometimes. We need encouragement. And two heads are better than one. So ask, seek help, yield. We need to have the attitude of Christ, and that not my will, but yours be done, regardless of the pain that that choice is going to cost me. I need to do God's will. Not mine, but His. I need to yield. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, Jesus says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need to be people of prayer. In fact, if you look there on the chart, pause, read, ask, yield. What does that spell? All these things need to be done with prayer, seeking God's will. We need to spend time in prayer. That there in and of itself emphasizes our need and our focus on spiritual things and to be right with God. It's very hard to commit sin when you're on your knees praying. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we don't often think of this passage as having much to do with choice making. But Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove." That word "prove" means to demonstrate. It means to do and to show. That you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, Paul is really laying down some principles here that should govern our decision making. He first speaks of dedication and purpose. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm giving myself, all of myself, to God. That's the number one step, if you think about it. And I need to expel dissenting voices. Do not be conformed to this world. I need to push the world out of my decision-making process. And I need to focus on God's will. I need to get rid of the world's influence in my life. Not allow the world to press me into its image. How does it do that? By influencing the decisions that I make to be worldly. And I need to have a clarity of mission. I need to be transformed. I need to be changed. And it's not just a matter of changing of my state, but a changing of my way of thinking. And I need to recognize what's important in my life. I need to understand that my main obligation on this earth is to serve God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. I need to have that mission ever set before me. This is why I'm here. Jesus died for me. Therefore, I am saved by Him. Therefore, my whole life should be devoted to Him. I need to increase in knowledge so I know how to do that. Having my mind renewed. How does that renew? My mind renewed? Through the gospel, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. I must submit then to that revelation. I must submit to what God teaches me. In verse 2, he goes on and he points out that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I also need to include others. I need to think, as Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12, in verses 3 through 6, he emphasizes our togetherness. Instead of being proud and reject others' counsel and others' needs, the Apostle Paul points out that we're to think sober. And not to think of ourselves higher than we ought to think. But we need to think of others. And we need to work with others. And my decisions need to reflect that concern for others. How is this decision going to help them or hurt them? And then some other passages in Romans chapter 14, I need to obey what I know is right. And if I don't think it's right, I better not do it. You want to make a decision? Make sure in your mind that you know it's right. So many make their decisions, well, I don't know that it's wrong, so I'm going to do it. That's not the criteria. Paul says, he who does that which is not of faith is sin. You violate your conscience, you sin. You do that which you know is wrong or believe is wrong, it's sin. Never give up. Never give up, even though we make mistakes, even though we make bad decisions. We need to do like David, and we need to repent, and we need to turn back to God. We all make mistakes. Never stop seeking God and seeking to serve Him and seeking to make right decisions. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. There's our priorities. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, He's our sovereign Lord. Set your mind on things above. Where's your focus in your life? Not on things of the earth. I hope our focus isn't there. But set your mind on things above, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have been saved, you've been cleansed, and you're in Christ, so live like it. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also He will appear, you will appear with Him in glory. You want to receive heaven? You want to appear with Him in glory? Then we need to make the right decisions. We need to serve Him, follow Him, regardless of the cost. Our decision to follow God affects every other decision in our life. That's where it begins. Our decision-making is in direct correlation with the degree in which we respect God, we love God, and we trust God. If we don't fear Him enough, we'll make bad decisions. If we don't trust Him enough, we'll make bad decisions. If we don't love Him enough, we'll make bad decisions. Are we making the decisions in our life that honor God? That should be our goal, right? In all that we do, to bring glory and honor to Him. When I choose to follow God, then I need to grow, gain understanding of the principles that God has established in His Word. I then need to apply those principles to my everyday life. And I need to live in harmony with His Word. If that is the case, then true joy, happiness, peace, and eternal life will be the result. What about my decisions? Are we concerned about what is the truth? That in His Word, therein is where it starts. What is the truth of God's Word? What is right? So many people need to ask that question. What is right? Because majorities think there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as absolutely right. What is wise? What is wise? Can we see down the road in the consequences of our choices? Think about the consequences of your choices. We need the adequate and sufficient and accurate information to make right decisions. God provides us with that. We need adequate understanding of that information. We need to study His Word. We need to know it. And we need to practice what we know. We need to appropriate the application of that information to our everyday life and think about the consequences. We've all made mistakes. All of us. But let the past be the past. Let's repent if need be. Let's confess our sins, get them out there, and let's pick up right here today with a commitment to serve the Lord and serve Him as He is instructed. Let us learn how. Let us move forward. Let us serve the Lord Jesus Christ from this day forward. And let all of your decisions center on Him and His will. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been baptized into Christ. And that's your need. Make that decision today. Choose to serve the Lord. If you have something in your life that you need to change, make the decision today to change it. Repent. If you need to make public confession, whatever your need is, won't you come while we stand, while we sing.